For nothing will be impossible with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the Immaculate Conception. And there are just two things that I want to point out to us today. But before we get there, I need somebody to explain something to me. Maybe to everybody else who's here. What's the Immaculate Conception? When we talk about the Immaculate Conception, what are we talking about? So I heard some things over here. I heard Blessed Mother. So that's good. We're starting off with the right person. Not, this isn't Jesus. Okay. What would you say over here, Linda? Born without original sin. That's exactly right. Our Lady, it's not Jesus. This isn't the conception of Jesus. The conception of Jesus was March 25th, the Annunciation, when our reading occurred on March 25th. That's why 9 months later is December 25th, Christmas. And now, today, we're talking about the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the 8th of December. And 9 months later, what happens? St. Mary's Parish in Vaughan has their feast day. The birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So today, we celebrate the moment when she was conceived. And the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary has great meaning for us. Because what it does is it displays for us two things that help us with our spiritual life, help us to encounter God in a more intimate way. These two things. The first thing that it points out to us is that Mary, or it points out to us that we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And the second thing that it points out to us is that we can't be our Savior. We need a Savior, but we can't save ourselves. Those are the two things that this feast points out to us, lived out in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Do you remember that first reading that we just had? What was the first reading about? It's right in front of you if you need to look at it.
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. Exactly right. And what was going on in that story of Adam and Eve, this thing that really did happen? Were they consenting to everything that God asked them to do in their life? No, they weren't. Well, what did they do? They disobeyed. Eve took the fruit which God told her not to, because the serpent told her it would be good for her, that God was hiding something that she really needed. Eve gave the fruit to Adam and he took it. And what's the result of that sin? The loss of heaven. But even more than just the loss of heaven, because it was a mortal sin, a sin which separated them from the love of God, what did it do? Prior to this, nothing like this had ever happened in all of the history of the universe. No human being had ever done this. What happened? It's a first sin. Original sin. Never before had a human being ever sinned. Never had a human being given into an inclination against God. But this was the first moment. And because of that, what happened? Sin entered into human nature. Human nature prior to this moment, which Adam and Eve had, was completely pure, completely just, completely in accordance with the way God made it. So there wasn't an inclination at any moment in the life of any human being. There were only two of them, Adam and Eve. There's never an inclination towards selfishness, towards self-seeking. But after this moment, there was. And there was for all eternity. That's what original sin does. It forfeits our right to heaven. It's like this. This is what sin does. It's like an astronaut who is up working on the space station. What happens? What do you see that allows the astronaut to be able to work out there in the vacuum of space with lack of gravity, that allows him to complete his mission? Do you know? He has a tether which connects him to the base so that even if he does something wrongly, he's still going to be able to find his way back because he's connected. But what sin does, sin breaks that connection. so that when we go off on our own way, we can't get back. We lose that connection to God. And that's what original sin did. Had this original, so this sort of separation, which he passed on, was passed on and given in all of human nature, even before any of us ever sinned, we had a separation from God. That separation which was contracted in our nature of original sin. But did God subject us to futility in that? Meaning that, okay, you all are messed up now, go off and do your own thing. I can't do anything for you because you abandoned me, because you corrupted the nature I gave you? Is that what God did? No. He gave us a remedy, didn't he? And what's the remedy for original sin?
Baptism.
Not confession. That's a good try, though. Baptism. Baptism is the only thing in all of creation, in the whole existence of the universe, that can heal that sin. Confession can't heal that sin. Why? Because nobody can go to confession unless they're first baptized. Baptism is the entrance to the spiritual life. And so God gave us this baptism. But the Blessed Virgin Mary didn't need to be baptized, did she? In fact, never in the scriptures or never in tradition do we ever have witness that she did receive baptism. Because baptism is for the remission or the cleansing of sin, for the destroying of original sin. But what Linda just told us is that Mary didn't contract original sin, right? How come she got to be so special? Why is it that she's the only person in all of history since conception has ever happened that sin skipped? She didn't contract that original sin. Why? She was picked. She was picked by God to start over again, so that she could be a new Eve. So that she could be faced with the same temptations and difficulties that Eve did, except for in a more extreme way. Because Eve grew up in the Garden of Eden where it was perfect. Mary grew up in Israel, which was surrounded by sinful people, giving in to sin. And yet, she never did. The Immaculate Conception reminds us, one thing is that we need a Savior because we all have contracted that original sin. But Mary didn't. But did she receive that grace because she was such a good person? Because she was so perfect? Because she really loved God with all her heart?
She was chosen before she was born.
Before she was born. Before she was born. So it had nothing to do with anything that she ever did. She received this grace, as it talks about in the collect that we'll read right before we enter into the preface, in that prayer. It says right here, "The Blessed Virgin Mary, grant that as we profess on account of your prevenient grace," meaning a grace that came before you were ever conceived. And how was it won? Mary needed a Savior. His name is Christ the Lord. And so what God did is he looked from all eternity, because for God, all eternity is present at every moment. The moment of creation and the moment of the recreation in Christ and the moment of the final coming of Christ are all present to God in this moment. He doesn't have to live in time. He lives outside of time. And so all things are present to him. So what he was able to do is he said, "My son Jesus will come." And the grace that is going to be garnered at that moment when he dies upon the cross, I'm going to apply that in a prevenient way, in a way that comes before, to the Virgin, so that she can be set free from original sin and have the opportunity to say yes to my plan in a perfect way, the way Eve forfeited, the way Adam forfeited. And so today we're reminded of our own need for baptism. Yesterday in Fort Sumner, I had an opportunity to do a baptism at that same Mass, the Mass of the Immaculate Conception. And today, we're reminded of our own baptism. Not a single one of us has been conceived immaculately, but Mary has. And because of that, she was able to give us Christ, her Son, as a Savior. And so we, as we are baptized, we are then set free to live a life just like the Blessed Virgin Mary did. For the rest of our lives, we have an opportunity not to sin. But should we sin, we have an opportunity to come back to it. So today, as we celebrate the great graces of our mother, we know that we have somebody who we can go to who will pray for us, who will help us upon the way, and will garner for us those things necessary so that we too can have a share in Christ's salvation. As we enter into this Mass, we give thanks for Mary, but we also are reminded of our own need for a Savior, and that Christ has to do it for us too. As we receive our Lord today, just ask Jesus for the grace to receive his redemption within our souls in a more intimate way. As we call upon the name of Mary, who is conceived immaculately, she'll help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.